Look what money has done to you. Look what money has done to us. I'm dead because of you.
No, you're alive.
Yeah.
You're just a torso and head. You're alive.
I'm still dead because of you. What do I do with a torso and a head?
You go boing, 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 yeah, boing, boing.
Now one of my Larry the Cucumber from VeggieTales?
Yeah. Yes.
Pretty much.
Welcome to another episode of User Words Podcast. Aaron, you look a little confused today. You're like looking around like, what's going on? Not 100% sure.
Side without headphones, it's different.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not exactly sure what the intro was or anything.
Thought I heard torso.
You did hear torso.
Sick.
So welcome to another episode. My name is Paul. As always, I have not legally changed my name in any way, shape, or form. And then we also have Mr. Aaron Johnson over here, who just now told me, and I learned, that Aaron doesn't like chicken sandwiches because apparently it chokes him.
The breading stuff, it gets stuck in the back of your throat. And then just, I mean, granted it's gone now, but it sits for too long than wanted. Sits there too long.
Yep.
But I like chicken tendies.
There you go. Okay. A man of contradictions and a man of complications.
That's
doesn't like
am.
Chicken sandwiches, but likes chicken tenders.
Yes.
And chicken nuggets.
And wham. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Oh. Well, anyways, we're not going to be talking about chicken or chicken nuggets or chicken tenders today, much to Aaron's chagrin and sadness. But that's okay, because we're talking about something else. And what we're talking about today is I wish I could play music on here. I really wish I could, because there's a song, and I forget who sings it off the top of my head. Like, I can go in the lyrics, but one of the lyrics is like, I don't want your perfect life.
Oh, you know? Red.
Oh, yeah, that is right.
That's
thank
perfect
you.
Perfect life.
Yeah, perfect life. Thank you. I honestly couldn't remember. Like, I was like, come on, I know I just heard this recently, too, and I cannot think of it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that me and Ed were talking about is when you look at social media, you're always seeing the best of someone. You're seeing the, I guess you could say, you're seeing what?
Seeing the highlights.
Yeah, you're seeing the highlights, but you're seeing what people want you to be jealous of type deal. And that's fine and all. I think we've kind of covered some of that before. But what that does, though, is that leads to this other thing that we do. You know, we see the celebrity that has the big mansion or the cool person that we like, you know, because, you know, they were cool in high school, so they're still cool now because apparently that's a thing. And you're like, he has this motorcycle. I must have that motorcycle. Or, oh, look, they're playing that guitar. I must add that guitar to my 30 other guitars because that musician is playing that particular guitar. Or, you know, this person's using this phone, so I must get this phone because that particular person's using this phone. And there's a word for that, where we're not content with what we have, and instead we look at what everyone else has and says, oh, that person is using this thing, so therefore I must have it. What's that word there, Mr. Johnson?
Covet.
Correct.
Good.
Yeah, it's where we look at what other people have and say, I want that for myself. And we kind of had that conversation of, are we coveting too much in this world as is? Now, the short answer you can go is yes, and then just be like, okay, we're going to cut off the episode here, and 5 minutes done. Congratulations.
Figured it out.
But there's a long-term, bigger conversation that is involved with that is crucial to understand, I guess, kind of that, where that's coming from. So, and apparently God thought this was such a big thing that he put it in the Ten Commandments, don't covet.
Yeah, that's a pretty big thing.
You know, where he's like, you know, don't covet, you know, what you're... this person has, or this person has, you know, don't covet their wife or anything like that. Cause obviously, you know, that's always been kind of a thing, you know,
right.
don't
that leads to other problems.
Yeah. That leads to other problems, but you know, So right back at the very beginning, with all this fun stuff of the Ten Commandments, God goes, don't covet. But apparently we as humanity haven't learned from that.
We love to covet.
Yes, we do. Because, and you know what? Celebrities know how to push those buttons and get us to covet what they have and go for what they have. And companies just love that because they're like, ooh, okay, you know, Aaron sees his favorite actress wearing a dress and goes, I gotta have that.
I want that. Oh. Yes.
Do you want that dress with mascara is the question.
Yeah.
That was a little creepy. But let's just be honest here. Let's just back off a second to say that and address the elephant in the room. That was a little creepy, sir.
Yeah. I'm not all there in the brain today or ever, I guess, really. But
no comment. But so, Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
So, since you were kind of the one who first even approached and broached the topic.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Do you want to kind of give like an overview from your thought on this, and then we can start delving into some of the deeper little pieces and nooks and crannies?
The more and more talk about it, it just all started getting my mind thinking more and more. But I mean, yeah, because at the beginning, like talking about, well, how you pretty much mentioned it. Oh yeah, it's coveting, but it's seeing the people on social media being like, oh, like I'm here or like on some trip or whatever, and it's super sweet, super great. I guess maybe for other people it's different, but I mean, I see a ton of like, I don't know, cool things or nice things that people post that are either, well, something they got or like this next level of life they're heading, getting a house, all this other whatever stuff. And I don't know. I guess for myself, one, I'm still a sad, lonely person living at home with his folks. Probably never gonna buy my own house. I'm just gonna inherit this house someday. No, not really. Maybe. I don't know. But it's I feel like with people, I mean, I'm going to talk myself in circles. When you see, especially, well, as you were saying, celebrities, or you could even say, well, I thought was a guy like on YouTube, had a YouTube channel, where he'd literally just show off like these like very nice, luxurious things either that he has or he's experiencing or whatever. And
well, YouTubers can be celebrities nowadays.
This is true.
Especially in this culture of internet everywhere. Yes. YouTubers are the next wave of celebrities.
Yeah, this is true. Seeing the things that they have obviously creates in people something that they want. There's a point on where wanting something is an okay thing versus it's a bad thing.
Okay.
And seeing, like, looking, gosh, and this is why I hate, you know, when we come up to stuff like this, I hate doing this in my basement, because I got a lot of stuff I can look at and be like, why did I get that one, and why did I get those, and then,
I'm thinking of a particular drum set that you got, because they, well, that was and the, also a particular see. Guitar that you got, because they are played by a certain, didn't you get a certain guitar?
No, I did.
Because it was played by?
But it was their actual guitar and drum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're special. And they're good. Well, so, granted, I don't play the guitar, but I play the drums.
So there's some difference there.
Yeah.
So when I say there's some difference there, you didn't go out and be like, oh, I got to get the model of it. You actually got the actual devices.
Yeah,
in that regard, you're acting more like a collector of collectibles.
That's what I am.
But at the same time...
No, I'm just a collector.
But at the same time, it's also like, huh, do I need another guitar or drum set?
Yeah, should I just be happy with what I have? Obviously, And I have gotten rid of one guitar so far.
Wow.
It took a bit, but I got rid of it. But wait.
Minus one guitar plus a cabinet. No,
plus we don't have to go into that. But like, I guess going back to the whole thing of like, you know, you see people like post these things and then you're like, oh man, like I wish I could have that, or wish I could be able to do something like that. And that can create, I don't know, I guess just a sense of defeat, or just like, I don't know. I wouldn't go as far to say like a depression, but I guess depending on how long it goes, I can see people getting depressed over just, oh, depending on what they always are seeing on social media. If it's always like something that someone either they know or whatever's has this next great thing or whatever. It's like, oh, for those that I guess can't actually go out and afford those things with their current situations, it's like it kind of puts up a wall or a block of them wanting to try.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and I guess where I was thinking, like, all I have, okay, I have so many freaking guitars.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah. Especially for someone, I don't know, just, well, one my age, I would imagine. And, well, you know, okay, okay, as someone that is not doing music as their main thing or like source of income, I have way too much stuff.
Fair enough.
Which I will openly admit. And I've thought about, because like I know I've done like a photo of like my collection so far of guitars. Well, mine and somewhat my dad's, because he's purchased a couple of the guitars.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about that. I was like, shoot, I was like, what if I'm contributing to the whole thing of being like, oh, look, like I've got all these cool guitars. And then what if I made someone like feel like, be like, man, I wish I could have stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh no. So I'm like playing both sides of it, where I can be like, I'm not, I don't know. Like there's still things like I wanted, but I know I can't have. But then I show that and like, well, someone else wants just like something of what I've got, but they can't have. And then I feel bad. Now just thinking about this like that. But I just feel like a horrible person now, Paul.
Well,
not entirely.
I say, don't feel like a horrible person. Do you have anything else you want to add on this before I start delving into this more? Because I have some points on this.
I feel like there was something, but got down the rabbit trail, I kind of forgot.
Yeah, I noticed. It turned into a very branching rabbit trail.
It is so bad.
So first off, we're bringing back a little bit of Aaron's Word of the Week a little bit here. What is a dictionary definition of covet?
A dictionary definition.
Yeah, what is the definition of covet?
I don't know what the actual like
dictionary. When you think of covet, what do you think of?
I think of something that you want of someone else's that you don't have, or either don't have or can't have.
So
that's what I'm wondering. It's because don't have and can't have would be two different things.
Right. But covet doesn't make that distinction. Covet is simply the yearning to possess or have something.
Something.
It's a verb.
Mm-hmm.
Similar phrases, words, things like that are be consumed with desire for, crave, have mm-hmm. one's heart set on, want. Desire, mm-hmm. wish for, long for, yearn for, dream of, aspire to, hanker for, hanker after, hunger hanker. After for, thirst like for, ache for, fancy, yeah. burn for, fancy. Pant for. I've never heard of the pant for one.
No.
That's the only one on the list that I've never heard of.
I get that one now, but yeah. Does jealousy fall anywhere in line with any of this or no? Or is that how far, how like, because I feel jealousy, like that's different.
Yeah, it's a different that's thing. Different. Like, jealousy is like, I am jealous that Aaron is going to Colorado. That's one thing. It's, I covet to go to Colorado because Aaron went there. That's a different thing.
Right.
Now, when you look at the grand scheme of things, you're like, I don't see the difference between jealous in that it jealousy is like I can't believe he went there and I didn't go, blah 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 blah, sort of thing. Whereas the covet's like, I really want to go there because that's something I want to do.
Yeah.
You know. And you're like, oh, there's not much difference. There actually is a difference, but they're both kind of wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the Bible, right, the word covet as used in the Ten Commandments is the word and I'm probably saying this wrong, is shamad, which is translated into English as covet, but it's also translated to English as strong desire and lust. So the word shamad can translate to any one of those three. In this case, in the context of the Ten Commandments, they translate it as covet, but it can also be translated as lust or strong desire for other person's property.
Right.
Now, when you say lust, that brings a whole different context to it. Because, okay, try not to sound crude here, but, you know, guys understand a little bit, like, when they lust after a woman. It's like, oh, geez, Louise, she's beautiful, and, I'll do whatever I can to get her, whatever. Oh, you know, and that leads to other desires and all that other stuff. Yep. You know, it's that strong feeling for it, for that other thing, for a woman's not a thing, for that other person.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But
yeah,
in this case, like if you're talking about covet, where you're coveting like Aaron's guitars, it's that strong desire of want for those things.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, when you translate it to lust, and it's like, oh, I see. That rings a little more interesting in there.
Right.
So I just want to cover what first off what covet was, because I was like, let's get what we're talking about first here.
That's what it was, man. It's like Brewer's already here.
Oh,
what is covet?
What is life? What is desire? We're not gonna do that. So, in your little wanderings of your mind there that you gave us at the beginning there. Oof. You introduced four things.
I did.
Yes. Four points that I pulled out of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. And so I think let's go down these point by point here.
Okay. Rabbit hole number one. Where are we going?
Okay. This first one. And obviously, I'm paraphrasing what you said.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to capture the text in real time as you were talking and I was typing and trying not to be loud into the microphone.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a paraphrase. So the paraphrase is wanting something. When is wanting something okay thing and not okay? What's the difference between the two?
See, I guess it's just off the top of my head, it's as to like what lengths are you willing to go to get this thing that you want. Well, I guess that's because I guess I'm just thinking about, okay, like, gosh dang it, I'm gonna sound like such an annoying person. Like for me, I like my vehicle.
All right.
My current thing, whatever. It's a good SUV for the most part, unless it's having issues. But every car has it from time to time, usually. But already it's like, you know, I want something different. So this is where it's like, you know, you can want something. But it's, are you going to, it's to what level do you want it is where it depends if it's bad or not.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, now I'm going to go to a different vehicle, but for like motorcycle. Okay. I want my Ducati again.
Of course. You always
miss that thing. Yeah. It was sick. Now am I going to, well, as my mom, as going back to my mom, what she'd always say, pray about it. That's what my mom loves to tell me about stuff if I ever want something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love you, Mom. No, I really do, though. but it's like, I guess, yeah, for something like, oh, I guess we should always go to God for just with anything in our life. As far as like a Christian standpoint. But let's take, yeah, that general want. I mean, everybody wants something from some time to time. That doesn't make it necessarily bad, depending on what it is, though, too. That's another thing, is depending on what it is that you want can make it bad. But if you want, like, okay, me wanting another motorcycle, do I have the means of, like, finances for it?
Mm-hmm.
And is it something I... Now, granted, a motorcycle is nothing that... Nobody ever needs a motorcycle.
Ain't that the truth? I'm playing with you, you know, because I know how easy it is to fluster you. But yeah, no one ever needs a motorcycle, but right. They may want one. So I think, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Okay. I'm not like trying to like stop you from going down your trail here, but what you're getting at is a fact of, okay, let's say, let's put an example here. Okay. Ducati comes out with a beautiful new motorcycle. Okay? You want it.
Yes.
It's in your financial, ability
means, right,
means to, like, you're not going into debt, you're not going to be homeless living on the Ducati for the next 4 years only,
right?
You
right.
know, it's within your means, mm-hmm. where you can pay all your bills, you can live comfortably still, like, your mm-hmm. normal life, you could still give and you could still do whatever, and you can purchase it. Is that covered or not? No, that's just you're enjoying some luxury items. Okay, now,
yeah,
if you, this is where it starts going to covet. Okay. So that first portion, I'd say, I wouldn't put that under covered, okay? It's like, oh, yeah, I'd like it, okay? Cool.
Right.
You know, cool. Where it starts going to covet is your neighbor pulls up with that same motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
And then okay, just, and then you go, I want that motorcycle.
I got it.
And yeah. you are willing yeah. to do whatever, either that be...
Means nothing. Get it.
You know, murder your neighbor.
Worst comes worse. Killing your neighbor for it.
Yeah,
you're killing gonna get caught, but
killing the neighbor and then stealing said motorcycle.
Yeah.
Obviously that's the worst extreme.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I have to have one, and because I have to be like them. So you go into pure debt.
Right.
And you go,
see,
and all of a sudden, Aaron no longer lives in a house. He now lives on the back of his motorcycle in the middle of January in the northern Wisconsin.
That's a rough life, let me tell you.
Yeah. Exactly, and he's keeping his engine on just to keep warm.
Which that Duke, I mean, it would stay at a nice toasty 200 some degrees.
So you put that in the center of a tent and put a little exhaust pipe poured out.
Right. So at least don't kill myself.
You would stay nice. So that's when it starts delving into the covet, is when you're willing to do something that is outside the normal. When you're willing to put your future.
Yeah.
In jeopardy because you're going so far in debt. Now, you go, well, what if I need a vehicle? Like, let's say, you know, you have a family and your vehicle is like, it broke down. It'd be more expensive to buy a new one or to fix it than to buy a new one. And you're like, I'm not really coveting the thing, but I'm going into debt to get it. That's not coveting. You're not like, you're not keeping up with the Joneses, as they say.
Right. Yeah. No, because I feel like I would have to go, I don't know. As of right now, I feel like even like for me to like, if I, okay, let's say I want to get the Ducati and I don't have the means of it right now. Well, let's say I do have the means. I feel like you could still covet something even if you are able to afford it easily.
Oh yeah. You still are.
You know?
But
I guess that's the thing, is like where it's like, it's, I guess it's one thing to like think about and be like, you know, I guess, well, maybe I'm just thinking about this too much from, I guess, as a Christian perspective.
Well, no, think about it from a Christian perspective. Bring that in, because that is not separate of who I am.
Right. No, but seeing this is also an issue I feel like I have with, at the moment, with, I don't know, just like how some people view it. It's like, okay, Aaron, you don't need that motorcycle. Granted, yes, you can afford it. Whatever, and live life as normal. So, but it's like, you don't need it though,
right?
And I'd be like, well, no, but I want it. So I guess I feel like if you don't like, I don't know, somehow just think about it and you're just like, I want it, I'm going to get it. If you're like, if you think about it, like if I want something and you're just dead set on getting it no matter what, I feel like that is not a good place of wanting something where it's like, you're not able to sit back and be like, well, do I need it? Should I get it? Kind of thing. I guess just try and think about it in the smart way, which obviously I was an idiot when I bought the Ducati for the first time. I didn't think I was being an idiot, but well, looking no back argument at for it, me. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. but because I guess looking back at it, it's like, well, yeah, okay, I traded in for something even worse. Great. Sweet. What a waste. But it's, yeah, it doesn't even take, like, if you can afford something, you can still easily covet something.
Right. Yeah. And I was just using that as like a very basic bare bones example, because that's first level. Are you like sacrificing everything to get this item? Okay. You might be just like lusting after that item. Okay. Mm-hmm. But this is,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, like you brought up, you know, can you afford it? Yeah. Do you need it? No, and you're still going like, I must have it, you mm-hmm. know, type of thing. That's still in that definition of coveting, lusting, desiring, wanting that object.
Yeah.
So that's why he said there's multiple levels of this. It's not just a clear cut one level thing. You know,
and this I guess is the thing too. With you know the whole pray about it thing. I was like, okay, you can pray about it, but it's like obviously as you know as kids growing up, you're always kind of told that, you know, you don't always get a yes, no answer from God right away. Sometimes you don't necessarily get anything for a while. You just,
yeah.
I don't know. And
that's where, you know, sometimes it comes into where, this is something you'll learn as you get older, Johnson, where you learn wisdom.
Yeah.
Where you go, okay, look. This may not necessarily be a covet issue, but this is also an issue of, do I really need it? And then you go, okay, let me look at my finances. What are my bills? Mm-hmm. What is my financial situation? Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at it and you're like, oh, I'm going to be able to barely scrape by or not scrape by at all. And you go, I'm still pulling the trigger.
Oh, right.
Even though you didn't necessarily get a direct answer in a way you thought, in a way you did, because you got that when you looked and analyzed your finances and like, oh, that's a no right here. But you go, nope, I'm still doing it because
I'm doing it. Yep. We're good. but yeah, because, and I guess, and like, as far as I hear from like some, like, I don't heard from like Christians and stuff, like, well, does it bring glory to God if you get this thing? And I'm just like, I feel like that's a bad, I guess, kind of argument to make about something.
Yeah, and I get where
to a point.
I get where they're coming from with that argument.
Yeah.
But at the same time, let's be honest, some things are just meant for fun.
Right.
An Xbox.
Yeah.
A motorcycle. Well, that's motorcycle is just a toy.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Well, it depends. Oh, you could be a career like motorcycle racer, and that's like your job. That's how you make money.
For a motorcycle racer who that is a career, then that's a tool, and then that's an essential item. Okay,
yes, it is.
But for everyone else, you know, it's an enjoyment factor. They enjoy it. They like it. They whatever. Mm-hmm. Same thing for an Xbox. Same thing for music. Same thing.
Anything.
You know, anything like that. Going to a concert. Does going to a concert necessarily glorify God? Does buying a concert ticket necessarily go, praise Jesus, because I'm up and
running, you know? I bought this ticket. Yeah.
It doesn't have that intrinsic factor built into it.
No.
However, you know, where you could start taking it a little bit deeper, it's like, oh, okay, am I enjoying this and maybe using this to, you know, be with those who are on church that I know, and this is the medium in which I can connect with them? You know, because maybe you have some friends that only play on Xbox Live. Is that the only medium in which you can connect them because they're across the country?
Yeah.
You know, is that PlayStation 5? And PlayStation 5s are hard to find. I've been looking, trust me.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, is PlayStation Network their preferred choice? And that's the only way you can interact with those people and be a good influence for them.
Right.
You know, you can't now. If you go, I'm buying this PlayStation 5 to evangelize to my friends. Okay, that's a bad reason because let's be honest. that's going to be like 5% of the time, maybe. And the other 95% is going to be you playing solo, playing games and playing and having fun.
Yeah.
You know, did buying that Optimus Prime collectible, did that bring glory to God?
No. Absolutely, it could somehow, maybe. I don't know.
Or did you just get it for fun?
Yeah, I just got it for fun.
You just like the Ducati Lego set you got for fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one way to own a Ducati for me.
Exactly. So, in some ways, you know, you get some stuff for fun, and there's nothing inherently wrong about that.
It's just if you're being careless with.
If you're being careless with the resources that God has entrusted to you, then it is wrong.
That's an issue. Yeah.
Because then you are coveting things over the responsibility and of the resources which God has entrusted.
Which is crazy. Why would you trust me?
So you think about this way. Sometimes you don't even have to covet after something that someone posted online. It may be that you're like, ooh, that looks cool. I would like to do that. Oh, wait. It's outside of my means. Oh. And then it's going to cause me to have to like barely scrape by for the next few months or years. And then during that time, I won't be able to dedicate resources, money, time, and energy to the thing God wants me to do during that time.
Right. Yeah. And I think another thing about it is when you get said item, how much of that gets your attention compared to other things around in your life? Like when I first got the Ducati, oh man, my mind was on that Ducati. Like, that was the thing I was mainly focused on. Yeah, you know, okay, yeah.
No, that's a comment I'm suppressing.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes. But, like, it's like, I guess it's like, what do you let yourself become so, like, I guess,
obsessed
revolved
with
around, or, yeah, obsessed with said item? That's another, I guess.
How far do you let the coveting / lust control your interaction with that item compared to everything else? Does that override your time with God? Does that override your time of service? Yeah. Does it override your job? Does it override blah? Do you become an addict to it, essentially?
So, and that's, yeah, and that is something, man, you should ask yourself before purchasing something. And be honest with yourself, too. And that's the hard part is, if I really actually did get this, how much could this potentially take over my, I guess, my focus and stuff like that? Because then, I mean, yeah, that is also, I would argue to say, an unhealthy thing.
Yeah. There's a reason God put it in the Ten Commandments.
Right.
You know, and obviously in the Ten Commandments as written, you know, and people go, well, are you reading the Hebrew Ten Commandments or are you reading the Jewish Ten Commandments? Whatever. Because translated from the original Hebrew or in the original Hebrew, the Hebrew Ten Commandments, simply says, the house of your neighbor you shall covet not.
Well, the house?
You know, and so, and that's why, like, the translations expanded to, like, you know, your neighbor's wife, house, field, manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, people, you know, kind of cuffruffle around a little bit. But ultimately what it comes down to is you're not coveting, you're not desiring, you're not lusting after property that is someone else's, either to take theirs or to get a copy of because they have a copy of it.
Right.
You know, you're at a gun range and you see someone with this awesome gun and you're like, I must have that. Yeah, exactly. So that's what, you know, when you're talking about, you know, when is it okay to want something, when is it not, you know, and it's kind of a level thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, there's not. You could go a lot deeper on this because there's a lot of levels in this you're talking about. But there's other things that you brought up that I want to hit on.
Yeah, what's that? Wow, I'm surprised. Wow.
Yeah, I know. so one of the other things you brought up was, you know, this whole idea of, you know, wanting what other people have, you know, this other life and everything, and following celebrities on social media, be it YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever one, Parler, MeWe, and all these other ones.
What a name.
It when you look and follow like celebrities, and let's be honest, celebrities get a lot of things for free because if they endorse something, or, you know, it's just good press to have a celebrity use your product or be at your location, and B, they have a lot of money, so they can just, a lot of them could just be like, hey, I want to go to this crazy beach and wear this fancy clothing and I can do it.
Okay. Right.
So it puts out this expectation almost of life. Like you have, let's say, a 14-year-old, let's say, following, you know, this ultra wealthy celebrity. And they're like, by the time I'm in my 20s, that's going to be me. You know, and that's what they build up as this expectation in their life. They're like, I'm going to be this famous streamer. I'm, you know, going to be this famous whatever. And then they get to their 30s and they have tried and they have failed because, let's be honest, only a very minority, and when I say minority, I mean small percentage, not racial or ethnic background. Only a small minority of people hit it off big.
Right.
Hit it off to the point where they are a superstar. They're in the NBA. They're in the NFL. They're expert race driver. They're a professional singer, whatever. Mm. Only a very small minority of the people attain that dream.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying don't try for it. If you want to try for it, go for it. Okay. Don't let that discourage you. But what's happening is people are like, this is going to be my career. Because you have more kids now, more than ever, saying, you know, on the little questionnaire, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Being, I want to be a YouTube streamer. I want to be a Twitch streamer. That's their career aspirations because they see these big Twitch streamers that somehow made it big. And they're like, that's going to be me.
I can do that.
And then when they get to like 25, 30, and they're not doing it, they're sitting at a corporate job to pay their bills. They're not doing what they were dreaming of when they're 14 because they found out it's actually hard work. Like right. it's a lot of work. That goes into it. It's like a soul crushing. Like I wouldn't, like you said, I wouldn't call it depression, but they all of a sudden realize their expectations of this life that they're seeing from these stars, from these celebrities, is not real.
It's, not to them, at least.
It's not real for the majority of people.
Yeah,
it's real for those very few minority luckies. Everyone else is going to be, nope, corporate grind for you.
Let's go.
And that can induce that because that expectation of life is never met. You know, they go, oh, I'm never going to go travel to this weird remote location for whatever. And they're like, I'm just here doing this. And that depression can set in
right.
because what they are desiring, what they are wanting is not matching up with the reality that they are actually hitting.
Right.
And that's a third point, you know, that social media and this, the way you get popular in social media is you post all these cool things and people covet and want to do those same things as you. And then all of a sudden it's like people look at that, they compare their lives to it and go, well, my life sucks. Right. And just depression kind of sets right. in.
See, now I was just like going way back in the early beginnings of this, because saying like how like I could feel like I can almost be. Well, not really, but to a point, I mean, maybe it's somebody who knows where it's like, you know, I post pictures of all my guitars and stuff like that, or my music equipment, and someone's like, wow, like what? Oh, what?
Well, I'll say this brings up my fourth point.
Oh, shoot.
Last point.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, what if I post a photo and it makes mm-hmm. someone else covet?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question to you. Whose responsibility is it for coveting?
The person that right. coveted. Over it.
Right. Yeah. So you posting a photo doesn't necessarily make it your responsibility, but it's a signal of culture at whole.
Because
culture as a whole is kind of this one-upmanship over and over again. Mm-hmm. I got something, but I got the newest guitar version, Johnson. I got a newer version than you'd have. I have a guitar that touched the hands of the August Burns Red members more recently than yours has.
Oh,
I've got a bigger signature from the August Burns Red guitarist and drummer than you have. You know, this one upmanship.
Yeah, right.
Just continues on and on and on and on and on.
Right.
And then it just, whose responsibility then? Like, I can do this all I want, right?
Yeah.
Am I responsible then for you getting jealous and lusting after those items? Or are you then responsible for that?
I'm responsible for my own decisions.
Right.
Which is... There's a couple examples, maybe to at some point that had just came to my mind as soon as we started recording this episode. Was one that involved good old Mr. Brewer.
Yeah.
But there's a whole thing, like people would always joke around with him about being a copycat of me or whatever, because I had a guitar, so then he got a guitar, and I got a truck, and then he wanted a truck, and I got a motorcycle, and he wanted a motorcycle. And
you got a tattoo, just, then he wanted a tattoo.
He got a tattoo, yeah. Just hilarious. Whatever.
The only thing he beat you at is getting a wife first.
Good job. You can keep it. Good job.
And a house of his own.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
yep. Okay. He's beat you on a few things.
Yes. Oh, he has. Absolutely. But when I go to buy a house, I'll buy a bigger and better house. That's not a townhouse. I'm kidding. That's not my goal. But like, because now actually going to something like that, though, is I remember when one of my buddies, good old Cooper, when he got his first guitar or whatever. And then, I mean, years later, I got into guitar. So I got a guitar and amp or whatever. And then just I do remember at one point, like he got some other like new amp or whatever, eventually over time as he got better. And is what generally happens if you get good at something, you upgrade to stuff time to time if you can.
Right.
Then I remember I was like, oh, nice. Then I was like, well, if I get something, I got to get something bigger. And then I eventually, well, I didn't get it because it was a gift. But I ended up getting a bigger amp later on. I was like, oh, man. And then like not... And this is where I think about it from time to time. It's like, it's not that at first my goal was to like get something bigger and better, but then I was like, when you did get something bigger and better, it's like, there's just like that sense of just like, yeah. Like, I don't know. This level of coolness factor or whatever. And like looking back at that now, I was like not that I like that was always something that came to mind, but I won't lie, it did come to mind every now and then. It was just like, you know, he has that. And I was like, but I've got this thing. Like, I like this thing more than a thing. And I just like thinking back upon that, I'm just like, man, that's stupid. Now, because also, aside from that, like, let's say I post a picture of all my music equipment, whatever.
Right.
I don't feel good about it in a way where it's like, okay, to the point of where. It's like, yes, I have a lot of stuff, but I'm not like super like skilled in using it kind of thing. If that makes sense. I mean, you can have a ton of stuff. That's like, you can have a super nice, fast rate, like racy kind of car.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use it to its full potential, but you can have this thing just to have it. So that's where I guess as far as like one thing, like I wonder like how many people are out there that like they post these like super high and mighty things, but in the reality of their own life, it's not that great.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
They're putting on
a show.
They're putting on the Ritz. They're putting on the show to show for everyone, mm-hmm. make everyone else jealous. And then, you know, they put on think of it this way, you know, for work, I use a green screen. You know, yeah. I'm not actually in front of a bookshelf or a wooden wall or whatever.
Yeah,
that's just a show for the meeting. Yeah. But to the audience, the people that see me on the Zoom meeting, what do they see? They only see that. They don't see, you know, the messy bedroom that the dog has thrown everything around, you know,
right.
The rest of the area. They see it. It's a cropped and groomed image for your audience.
Right.
And a desire to make them say, look at me. I am so good and so fly.
Yeah, right.
So if young people even say that anymore, I don't know.
Just goes to show how old we are, Paul.
Shush.
I'm kidding. But no, I guess that was just something that came up to my mind too, is even thinking about it. Like, yeah, you can have all this nice stuff, but it's like, well, one for me, like again, like yeah, I have so many guitars, but it's like I'm not a super good guitarist. Like I can play chords, I can do some lead stuff if I know what I'm supposed to do, but as far as like improv and stuff like that and going off the fly, not really. So it's like, yeah, even though having all these guitars, it doesn't really do anything for me if I can't, like, I don't know, use them to a better capacity of what they can do. Even like as far as amp stuff or whatever. And now I feel like I've kind of like become more to a point where it's more collecting stuff and having
Well,
the horrible excuse is having a variety of stuff to use, or having a variety of, you could say, tones, but now how digital everything has become, you can recreate that in other ways besides having so many freaking guitars and all that kind of crazy stuff. The digital world is nuts.
Yes, it is.
Needless to say, but no.
Okay, so it's the responsibility of the person who's coveting. So here's my question then.
Yes.
What are you pointing
at? No, nothing. I was just going.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were pointing at something.
No.
So here's my question, and this one is pretty, don't overthink this, because this is simple. It's just simple. Ooh,
okay.
I know. It's like, I tell you not to overthink, so therefore you're got to automatically overthink. Yeah. What is the cure to coveting?
What is the cure to coveting? Just not covet. Don't do it.
Well, how do you do that? What is the cure? How do you get to that point? And it's easy to say, not easy to do. Don't overthink it. What is the what is the opposite of coveting?
I'm trying to. I would say giving, but is that the opposite of?
No, it's not.
It's always like the whole thing of love and hate. I was thinking that, but then like the opposite of love would actually be like selfishness.
So
but
if coveting is the desire to get more, always wanting, the opposite of that is being content with what you have.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Finding that contentness and being like, hey, I'm using this. I'm finding use for this. I can do what I need to do. I don't necessarily need the toy. I'm content with it. I'm having fun in my own way. Mm-hmm. I'm finding the tools I need. Now, obviously, like I said, there are times when, hey, finances permit you to go and say, yep, I'm going to buy this toy, or I need this tool for my work. I'm going to buy this tool. That does happen. So don't confuse the two. Right. But being content, that's that opposite of being
covetous. Yeah.
Of being desiring.
Yeah.
Because if you're not desiring, you're content. You're happy with what you have. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. It's easy to say. It is so much harder to put into practice, because we have, as a society, this culture of always wanting, like we've talked about, wanting more, wanting the best, wanting to want to up everyone else.
Yeah.
Showing off that I have the best of the best of the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know? Like we've talked about many, many times already. So, yeah, that's what I said. It's easy to say, don't covet. But when you say don't covet, what does that actually mean? That means, I'm satisfied. I'm content. You know, I don't need the bed that can fold in half. I don't know if it folds in half, but it can auto like adjust itself. Like the head could go up, the legs go down, or the legs go up. He's like, I don't need that. Would it be nice if I could afford it? Sure. But you know what? I have a bed that I just bought last year.
Right.
I don't need to throw away that bed to get this other bed that can fold. Because guess what? Next year, there's going to be a bed that can fold like 360 instead of 180. You know? And then the year after that, there's going to be a bed that is also a car. You know, something absurd like that. You know, you can lay in your bed on your way to work. It's going to bathe and shower you and brush your teeth while you sleep on the road.
Dude, sign me up for that.
We're going to the Jetsons, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, though, we're already supposed to be in the age of space, because Jetsons were set like in 2020 or something like that.
Well, we're far behind.
Yep, I know. No flying vehicles. I covet those vehicles.
I did, man, seeing something about a flying vehicle was like projected to be released in like 2040. Or something. I don't know. It was like it was while hanging out at a bar, and it was I can't remember was it Chive or something TV.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a little singular like cockpit thing, and it had four like propellers, surrounding it, and it was just like going ever so slowly, moving forward, stop, turning, and whatever. I was like, man, if that's as far as we get by the time of 2040. Pretty pathetic, but I don't know. But also, I was gonna say one thing that I hate about social media.
Yeah,
for this whole covety stuff, is obviously when you want something, you're gonna look into it,
right?
Most likely, The thing I hate about social media, well, it's not even just social media, it's anywhere really, it's the whole ads crap. Oh, does that irritate the crap out of me? Because it's like, man, okay, you think, all right, I'm trying, gosh, I can't even, like, all the things I've probably looked up in the past, I thought, oh, this would be sweet to get sometime. Do I need it? No. But because I've looked that up, and if I'm on the internet, like mainly like Facebook or, you know, stuff like that, or just social media, I mean, even, yeah, again, it doesn't have to be just social media. It's just any website that has ads.
Right.
You always see, like, those things will, like, come back up and be like, hey, remember this? You were looking at this. Check it out. And it's just like ads that extra, like, I'm seeing it again. Now it makes me want to want it more kind of thing. And, I hate that. Oh, that makes it all the worse for me, I think. And because I mean, I'd imagine, you know, the more and more you see something, generally, the more and more you're going to want it if you really want it in the first place.
Yeah, it plays tricks on you. And it's like, you can go, oh, I don't need that. But then you see an ad again. That's why advertisers do that, because once you look at it once, they know if they show it to you repeatedly, over and over again.
This person might cave.
Think of it like this way: advertisements are like porn. The more you watch it, the more you want it.